Welcome to the world of Muscle Smoke and Mirrors, where it's all about muscle, health, history, training, nutrition, bodybuilding, and state of mind.
Hello, listener. You're back listening to the world of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors with your host, Tomash, and Randy. Hey, Randy, how's it going?
Good today, Tomash. Very good.
Today's, just to get straight to the point, today we decided to discuss some more steroids because your interview with Mike Petrilla came out on his channel. Sorry, it was on TV.
Yeah, it was in a regional, Rogers TV, so like a regional telecast here. Mike Petrilla has his show In the Gym with Mike Petrilla. I think he's done two seasons now.
With Rogers, and he has them on YouTube as well.
Yeah, as Rogers releases them to him, he puts them up on YouTube, yeah.
Perfect. So, in there, you go right into steroids. So
yeah, it was a 30-minute show with I'm not a steroid expert, but historically I have a good idea of what's happened and from the people I interviewed and what I researched. But it was to give the general listener what steroids, what they are, where they came from. You know, when did they come into the, not just bodybuilding, when did they come into sports? What was their impact on sport? What was their impact on society?
And that was how you started. It went way back. It wasn't to be used for sports. It wasn't to be used for athletes. But you go into why steroids were even invented.
Yeah, I found fascinating was, there's all sorts of arguing out there on the net and debate when did the bodybuilders start taking them. And a lot of people think the bodybuilders are into the 40s already, and I don't buy into that. Although steroids themselves were not around. Steroids being a synthetic derivative of testosterone, but testosterone applications were out in 1940. The book that I found fascinating was a 1945 publication called The Male Hormone by Paul DeKruff. And he was ranting and raving over the effectiveness of steroids for medical applications. And they were needed at some times. There's some young kids who couldn't get through puberty. And this was helping them along in many ways. But he dared to ask that question back in 1945. Hey, if these work well for helping someone who's not doing so well in health-wise get better, what would they do for a healthy athlete? Mm-hmm. And he even named one of the sports teams back then. So that question was already starting to be fielded back then. And again, I have never seen the ad, but I believe it's John Keha in Osmo, who was the publisher of Iron Master magazine. Great guy, very knowledgeable guy. And Mike Bondurant, both say they have a copy of an ad by Ciba Pharmaceutical, late 1947 or 48. Advertising methyl testosterone based at the muscle building community. But again, at this time, where would that ad be, right? There wasn't internet. That ad wasn't published in the bodybuilding magazines. So I don't know where the ad would have been published at all. So
newspaper, but I don't think it would be in a newspaper either.
No, again, at that stage, because some people claim that Steve Reeves used steroids back in the day, but I don't believe that. You know, he was 47 years old. They say Joe Weider was getting it for him. But in 1947, Joe was still living with his parents in Montreal, right? So, I mean, again, you would have to have your thumb on the pulse of endocrinology to be on top of these things. And Steve was only 21 years old. Now, again, Steve was accused by a friend, Gordon Scott. Gordon Scott played Tarzan. In the back cover of this current book we're working on, I said muscles really got projected into the public eye beginning in 1955 by Gordon Scott, who played Tarzan, and Steve Reeves, who followed with Hercules.
Yes.
And Scott said that Reeves took steroids in the 60s just to prepare for a movie because he had a shoulder injury. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I don't care if he took steroids to help, because I know people have used steroids only to help injuries. If that helped him do his movie, fine. I don't care. But I don't believe he took them 15 years earlier.
When did he stop competing, Steve Reeves?
1950, won the Mr. Universe, the first NABBA Universe. So, personally, I don't believe he was using. He doesn't have that real look of the pronouncement, with the steroid look. He just, to me, didn't have it at that time. But he just had a great physique, right?
Yes.
Whether you took them later for to prepare for a movie, I don't care. You know, whether,
nor do we know. Well, no, I don't.
No, again, steroids really came in primarily in the 60s.
And then into sports. And what sports did it start with? I mean, besides bodybuilders, because, you know, we'll try anything.
The weightlifting and football. Again, there's debate as to whether because Alvin Roy, who was the first strength coach with the San Diego Chargers in 63, he was at LSU, Louisiana State University, back in the late 50s. Because Alvin Roy was hanging out with the York weightlifting team. And Dr. Ziegler. So he had firsthand knowledge of steroids. As to whether he brought them into the college football level, I don't know. And there's a debate. I was even talking to some guys who were there, and they said they couldn't say for sure. They weren't quite in Roy's inner circle, but they said it's strictly possible. I know that Matt Cheney, who wrote Spiral Denial, states that steroids were into the college level in 1959. This is the only year that John Ziegler just began working with Garcia and I think Bill March at York, the York weightlifters, right?
That's the date I kind of read about. That's when steroids kind of came into bodybuilding. 59 seemed to be the date with Dr. Ziegler, whereas beforehand it was probably just dabbling.
It was dabbling. Ray Marcunas, who was in Chicago, and with Rio Blair, who was Irvin Johnson at that time, mm-hmm. In 1947 he came in, and through the 50s. Ray is positive that Irving had probably Nilivar. He said it was a white, Johnson referred to it as a nitrogen pill. It was from, and it was from Searle. And there's, I think it's G.W. Searle in Chicago who made Nilivar. Mm-hmm. And Marcunas wanted it, to take it. And Irvin said no. He wasn't sure about this thing at the time. And he said that was at least 1958. We know that because Johnson left for California in 58. He said it was possibly 1956. Even if Nilivar was released commercially in 58, we know that a lot of these companies have it out the back door being tested, you know, a year or two earlier, right?
Yes.
So same with Dianabol. I think officially they say it was in 1958 it came out around there, but it was probably out maybe. I think SIBA had a lot of outlets other than just John Ziegler at the gym.
Yeah, some beta testers.
Because look at Perry Rader in 1962. He was already writing and pleading to the athletes not to take it. And it's saying it was already in the high school and college level. Okay, this is 1962.
Yes.
That he's writing this. By this time, some of the York weightlifters were only finally starting to wake up to it. They couldn't decide what was making them stronger, the isometrics or the hypnosis.
Oh, yeah. Isometrics were big then.
Yeah, but finally the cat's out of the bag. It's the little pill that's helping them out. And, you know, the Lewis Reed, like I said, Alvin Roy went to San Diego. He brought him to NFL. And assistant coaches in San Diego in 63 were Chuck Knoll, John Madden, and Al Davis. And in 1969, Chuck Knoll went to coach the Pittsburgh Steelers. In 1970, he hired Lewis Reed as his strength coach. And Lewis Reed was one of the first guys using Dianabol under John Ziegler. So I remember the Pittsburgh Steelers through the 1970s, like Mike Webster and John Cole, the shirts in the middle of January, December, playing football in Pittsburgh with the sleeves cut up to their shoulders and these huge arms hanging out there, right?
Well, that's funny because that's when the physiques of football players started changing.
And the wrestlers.
And wrestlers, yeah, exactly, yeah. Right around then.
Billy Graham, Wayne Coleman. Wayne Coleman, who played superstar Billy Graham, came into wrestling around 1970. He was monstrous. He's about 60, claimed he was about 6'4", about 275 pounds. He came in with the outlandish look, with the tie-dyed and the wild colors and the long blonde hair and this massive physique. I remember as a kid going to the bookstore, the magazine rack, and seeing, like, I like Bruno Sammartino. And I remember seeing, holy crap, who's this guy? You know, as Billy Graham. And he was followed by an influenced guy like Jesse the Body Ventura. But yeah. Jesse came about 1975. And Hulk Hogan came into wrestling in the late, I think, 77. And those guys carried all that same type of outlandish flair into wrestling and an Ultimate Warrior. By the 80s, mid-late 80s, all these guys had these bodybuilder physiques. Like the Ultimate Warrior was right out of the comic books, right?
Yes, he was. And that's funny, Jesse the Body Ventura, where would that come from?
Yeah.
If it didn't want to draw attention to his physique.
Yeah, and Jesse could have joined. He was a Navy SEAL. Right? He was an underwater demolition team, which I think later became the SEALs. But you know, he turned out to be quite the character. Like Jesse, his wrestling.
Even outside the ring.
Yeah, he was the heel, but he was a heel who could be quite funny in just his brashness. But we found out how intelligent the man is, right? Like, I mean, look at what he's gone on to do: become governor of Minnesota. First, he was mayor, one of the mayors there, and then he became governor, and he's writing a lot of books right now. But you know, these guys, they all admit that they use steroids, so we're not spilling any beans here. Like, they're not going to deny it. They weren't even illegal at that time. And the way the government's treating it now is ridiculous, right?
That's the other thing. It wasn't illegal.
No, and they have been used. I know a lot of guys who do not use steroids, but did use them to heal. And it works in helping to accelerate the healing of injuries, right? But, you know, these athletes get into taking huge dosages. I don't think any of them argue that it's good for you with some of the large dosages they're taking, but many will argue that they do have applications in the medical field. But the doctors, like, this is one of the times, same with AIDS, when the politicians stepped in and ruled over the medical field as to what they're going to be able to do here, right? Mm-hmm. And steroids got, you know, rescheduled in the field of narcotics. Like, the doctors can't even, up here in Canada, like, I don't believe the physicians can prescribe prescribe testosterone, but I don't know about anabolic steroids.
I don't know.
It went crazy. It just went crazy. I remember when Ben Johnson got caught. Like, I said this on in the radio show, and I wrote this in the prologue of this current book, that Wayne DeMillard thought he so clearly remembers the headlines in the newspapers, because it was right at the time when Ben Johnson got caught. It was the fall, just after the Olympia. You know how in bodybuilding, they would always do the Grand Prix tours after the Mr. Olympia, right? He saw the headlines, and it was either – they either said – it didn't matter the language. Either Winstrol or Snozzanol, when Ben Johnson caught, blah, blah, blah. And then they would go over to Madrid, Spain, whatever, and the same headlines. And he said to the guys, he said, you know what? The sport is going to change. It's no longer, like I say, steroids being bodybuilding, little dirty half-kept secret. The whole world is going to know. And and with the media, always irresponsible as you can possibly get, just went apeshit. And it was like these athletes got recast as villains, you know, cheaters, villains, and they're just playing their sport. Like I mentioned in the show, the TV show with Mike, Jose Canseco got raked over the coals a lot for this book Juiced. But he said something to me that, how can you argue with it? He said the athletes that preceded him used their own drugs. They use alcohol. They use painkillers. They used amphetamines, caffeine, whatever. He goes, I chose to use steroids and weights to play. Wanted to play. So they get cast now as, fortunately, they have to go out. The only way they can compete at the top levels now in many of the sports is to take the drugs. But then they have to go out there and be prepared to lie right through their teeth about it, right?
But everyone else is taking it, so they're not cheating by doing what everyone else is doing.
Not only is everybody else in the sports taking them, the biggest market is in the gyms. Not even the people who are in professional sports. The guys who are recreational weekend warriors who just want to look good at the beach are taking steroids, right? These kids in high school are taking steroids. And the amount of money in sports is absolutely asinine. It's ridiculous. The amount of money, of course, they're going to be lured in to take the drugs if they want to have any chance at all in competing at that level to get into that kind of money. Hundreds of millions of dollars. It's insane.
That's unbelievable.
That amount of money, right?
I mean, you're going to do anything you can to get even close to that.
Yeah, and same with football, too. These are $60 million contracts, and it just goes on and on. So it's like, I mean, you wouldn't want to have the gifts of being as top athletes, because you have to make that decision. Do I want to start taking the drugs and then be cast in this light of being a villain, you know, this cheater and stuff like that, when you just want to play your damn sport?
Yeah.
You know, that's all it is, right? So
steroids have begun earlier than I previously thought anyway, and it's not like they're going anywhere anytime soon.
It's evolving. Like, I mean, steroids turned into a growth hormone and growth hormone mitigators like IGF and insulin, which is extremely dangerous. Now, remember the other show we were just talking about, SARMs, selective androgen receptor modulators?
Yes.
And genetically modified people.
That's what it becomes.
Yeah, we'll take these genes that seem to be heightened this type of ability, and we'll just shoot them into this guy and see what happens, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of scary Frankenstein stuff, but that's what we're looking at down the pike.
That's what's happening.
Yeah.
I think we covered what we wanted to cover. today. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
No, it's the, if in bodybuilding, for any of the listeners to take home from this, but I mean, natural bodybuilding, you have it for life. A lot of things with the steroids, there's a lot of guys that they do end up staying on them. They turn it into hormone replacement therapy. Many of them have to.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Like, you want to see them as continual quality of life, but you know, the drugs are still, even hormone replacement therapy is still somewhat controversial, and there's always going to be arguments of what side effects. I mean, there's no argument with the amount, the huge qualities of steroids are taken. It has absolute detrimental effects.
Well, there is the physical effects of it, right? That obviously is visible to everyone, but there is the mental aspect or the mindset of it. When you get off, it all goes away.
Yeah, well,
The attention you got from all your buddies at the gym or all the women,
it's not just that.
Gone.
Steroids affect testosterone levels and stuff. And testosterone isn't just about building muscle. Mm-hmm. There's a psyche involved with it. And there's the people who deal with depression coming off it and dealing with estrogen imbalances and stuff of that nature. And there's more even about steroids and whether is it just muscle building or is there more to it? Is there a reaction time? This is debatable, right? Mm-hmm. Like Gideon Ariel, who did a study back in 1972 where he was convinced that it actually proved reaction time, speed. Here's an example of Wayne D'Amelio. People aren't aware that Wayne was actually a pretty good athlete. Even though he promoted bodybuilding. He never used steroids because he just was the promoter, right? But Wayne lost his prostate, which puts him into the world of controlling PSA levels and testosterone. He said when his testosterone is up and normal, Wayne used to box years back. He could take five pennies, throw them up in the air with one hand, go bang, 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 grab them all. I tried that years back with my ice. It sucked. With three pennies, I think I got one or two. But he could do it with five. But he says, according to the treatment that he's given, if the testosterone is brought way down, which totally affects his whole psychology, the way he feels, whether he's depressed, blah, blah, blah. But he can't do the penny trick. He can't do it. He just doesn't have the speed coordination to do it. But when his testosterone's back up and normal, he can do it.
Wow.
So it does a lot of things. The baseball players, well, no, it doesn't. It just makes you stronger. It doesn't do anything else, does it? We don't know. Like, I mean, we know that just feeling aggressive and heightened. Like when I deadlifted 500 pounds, I used just one thermogen. Remember Ephedra?
Yep.
Just that they were saying take 5, 6, 12 a day. I could only take one. And my bow would be wrung out the next day. You know? But I could take one of those things. And it would make me feel like I could take the bar and bend it in a pretzel. Right? Just one. And that's just heightened me up that way. Can you imagine taking a lot of this other stronger chemicals and steroids on the top of it? It obviously is going to change your psyche, your aggression, your fortitude, all that kind of stuff, right?
That explains all the easy bars you have in the gym.
Oh, yeah. I bent them.
Yeah.
With my bare hands, yeah. But when you come off this stuff, you can understand why there's a huge letdown. A huge letdown. It could bring big people into depression.
And that's exactly what, you know, physically, yes, it affects you. And yes, I don't know whether most of it, but some of it definitely goes away. And that you're bringing in all the other psychological effects. There is a reason why people stay on them.
Yeah.
Some people can't handle not having that attention, the size of muscle, the strength, the concentration.
They're feeling good. They're feeling good and strong. They said that you feel – I was listening to the honky-tonk man in an interview. He was a wrestler. It's saying he took lots of steroids. He said they all did. There are tons of steroids. But he said he felt good. He said it made him feel like he was strong. He felt confident. And to be wrestling 250 days a year,
you kind of need it.
You kind of need it. And plus, a lot of the guys, as Greg Zulak said, they needed it to survive. The injuries. But as they go past the healing aspect, applications or doses, and go into these massive dosages to create these enormous physiques. Like some of these guys, like I wrote that one part, these guys are starting to be more impressive than the comic book heroes they were meeting.
Right? Yeah, that's true.
They're the way they look, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Controversial topic. There's much more that could be said on this.
And please add your words to it, listener. Whatever you think, we were looking forward to hearing from you. But we're going to wrap it up here, Randy, and we'll talk in the next episode.
Okay. See you later, Tomas.
Bye-bye. Oh, before we go, we'd love to hear from you. Get in touch with us by leaving a comment on our website, theworldofmuscle.com. And also, if you like this podcast, please share it with a friend and be sure to give it a 5-star review on iTunes. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to The World of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. We hope you've enjoyed the content of this episode, and we're looking forward to sharing more next time.